you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Daniel. And we're going to be skipping chapter 5 because I'll be preaching on chapter 5 on Sunday. But we pretty much have, I can't say we have preached on everything between chapters 1 through 4, but we have hit many things. I think there's like 8 different messages between chapters 1 and chapters 4. But tonight I want to go to chapter 6. And I want to preach on Daniel, what a believer. Daniel, what a believer. And just want to talk a few things about Daniel tonight and about how he's a believer. And you say, well, how do you know he's a believer? Well, chapter 6, we're going to read a portion of it. We're going to read that verse 23, and then we'll preach a lot of the chapter tonight. But we want to be a help to you. And concerning, I'm going to be preaching to Christians, of course, concerning what a believer is. And what one is tonight, amen, and how I believe tonight you'd want to be the best. That you want to be not second-rate believer, but the best believer. I believe that. Bible said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And so that ought to be the mindset in the heart of every child of God. If I'm going to believe, then I'm going to believe all the way. And so I pray that's your case. That's what it was for Daniel. Chapter 6, verse 23. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. So that tells us that Daniel believed in his God. And we understand that the story about the lion's den, I don't know if everybody's heard that story, but Daniel was cast into there, and Daniel came out of there. And the reason why is because he believed in his God. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus tonight. I ask you for help. Father, I know that, Lord, I'm just flesh. And Lord, I know, God, that I'm not able, or are you incapable tonight, dear God, of doing thy work. And Father, I ask you tonight, God, to anoint me and fill me with your Spirit. God, guard my lips and my mind. Father, may we preach tonight with power, yet with love, tonight conviction. God, may you be glorified and exalted in every area tonight that we present to you, Lord. May you be pleased with our lives tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Daniel tonight is one who is a believer. There's no question about that. There's no doubt at all tonight that he's a believer. Now, David, he lived a life of faith. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith tonight. Those that are saved tonight, we don't live by feelings. We don't live by emotions. We live by faith tonight. Sometimes you might not feel saved. That don't mean you're not saved. Sometimes you might not feel like reading your Bible, but yet you still do. And tonight, that still is a blessing. Amen. The Bible says, blessed is he that readeth the Word of God. And so we tonight want to know that sometimes we might not feel, and don't think tonight that you're not saved because you don't feel like coming to church. I don't feel like preaching sometimes. I don't feel like reading my Bible and getting up and early. I don't feel like sometimes doing some things. Amen. But that don't mean that you are one that is not saved or one who's not a believer tonight, because we don't base our facts on our feelings. We base our facts on our faith tonight. And so Daniel was one that lived a faith. Tonight, can I say, by living the faith tonight, it makes a difference in the life in which we live. Tonight, I can tell you, and you can tell me tonight, those who live by feelings and those that live by emotions and those that live by just by thoughts or some kind of opinions. You can look at their lives and then you can look at lives that are really lived by faith. Those who are really believing in God and those really trusting in the Lord. And they're two different lives tonight. Tonight, you living by faith will make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in the lives around you tonight. You can be a blessing tonight or you can be a cursing. Tonight, it's up to you. Living by faith tonight will bring a total different life that you've ever expected before. Here in verse 23, where it says he believed in his God, I tell you something, it made a difference in Daniel's life. Believing in God made a difference in the life of Daniel. Don't ever let anyone tell you or underestimate tonight that getting saved is a second-rate choice. Don't anybody ever tell you tonight being a Christian is less than the best. Don't let anybody tell you tonight that being born again tonight did not make a difference in your life. That's a lie. It did tonight. I tell you, tonight, being a Christian and living by faith tonight, not only will it be made a difference in your life, but it made an effect in other lives tonight. Daniel was one that lived by faith. He is one tonight that made a difference. He's one tonight that had an effect on others around him. Tonight, it all depends on your prayer life. You see, what's got in the middle of this verse tonight is Daniel and his prayer life. You see, tonight, what sets us apart from anyone and everyone is prayer. Tonight, everything tonight is hinged upon prayer. You pray little, you have little faith. You have little Christianity. You pray lot, you'll find you have a lot of faith. You'll have great Christianity. Tonight, it's not how many times you come to church in a week. It's how many times you pray in a day. Tonight, it's not how many times that you read your Bible. It's not how many times tonight that you would memorize the Scripture. But tonight is how many times that you pray. Tonight, you're not built by reading the Word of God. You're not built by coming to church. You're built by prayer. The preacher is only as good as his prayer life. The member of a church is only as effective as their prayer life. The church is only right with God according to his prayers and his prayer life. Tonight, can I tell you what makes a Christian live by faith and a Christian that makes a difference and a Christian that brings an effect on others tonight is Christians that pray. Prayer tonight is the greatest difference in each one of our lives tonight. You don't pray much. You pray little. You don't have much emphasis on prayer. You don't think prayer is that important. You don't think prayer is that essential for your life. Prayer at church, prayer at home, prayer with your family, prayer with your children. You kind of don't do it. You slack in it. You kind of slip. I mean, friend, tonight, what you're saying is prayer has no power in my life, in the church's life. And that is so, so wrong. Tonight, that's exactly what the devil will want us to do as Christians, is not pray. The devil can get victory tonight in our lives as a church tonight if we don't pray. You know what's breaking the backs and what's causing their very deadness in churches tonight? Is the lack of the desire for prayer. We call a prayer meeting, very few show. You call any types of prayer times, you find not many people interested in prayer meetings. Now, we can call for a barbecue dinner, and everybody shows up. You call for a prayer time, very few are interested. Tonight, you call for a TV show or a football game or something on TV, something that everybody likes on the TV, everybody will gather in the living room. And everybody will watch a show, watch a sports event, watch an entertainment, and they'll sit there for 3 hours entertaining themselves on a TV, but not one time will they gather themselves to pray. There's something wrong with that picture. There's something wrong with this church. When we feel like that only the strength of this church and the power of this church is our individual lives and what we do, but that's not the answer. The answer is prayer. Amen. Daniel was a man that believed in his God and he lived by faith and he did it because he had a prayer life. Tonight, I wonder, tonight, do you have a prayer life? I want to say, number one, tonight concerning Daniel's prayer life that made him believe in his God, is I want you to notice that Daniel in verse 10, it says, and when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, and he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, can I say tonight what happened was in chapter 6 that these men got together and they came to the king Darius and said, listen, we need to make a decree that if anybody prays to any other god except the king within 30 days, those individuals would be cast into the lion's den. And sure enough, Daniel was one. And verse 10 tells you exactly what he did. Soon as Daniel heard that the writing was signed, soon as he heard that the decree was given, he went into his house in verse 10, and his windows being opened on his chamber toward Jerusalem, and he kneeled upon his knees 3 times and prayed. So we find that Daniel, in the man that he was, it was built upon his prayer life. Number one, concerning his prayer life, he wanted to pray. See, the Bible says in verse 10 that he went into his house. Daniel got the news. Daniel heard that the decree was signed. And Daniel went into his house in a physical way. He went into his house in a mental way. He desired in his heart. He determined in his heart. And he said, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into my house and I'm going into my place and I'm going to get where I've always done and I'm going to pray. You know why Daniel prayed in verse 10? Because he wanted to pray. You know why we don't pray? Because we just don't want to. Oh, I know. I got up late. I had to go early. I had to put these clothes on. I had to wash dishes. I had to cook. I had to cut the grass. I had to fix that. I had to go to a friend's house. I had to go to the grocery store. I had to go fix that. I had to go do that. Brother Larry, I just don't find time. I just don't know. No, the problem is you just don't want to. And friend, the only way you and I are going to be a Christian tonight and we're going to live by faith and it's going to be making a difference in lives tonight and we're going to be effective tonight to those that we love and to those that we're around, we're going to have a prayer life, but we're going to have to want a prayer life. We've got to come to the point in our lives when we just got to make a decision in the priorities of our life. What is important tonight? Is sleeping more important than praying? Is working more important than praying? Is watching TV more important than praying? Is going to doing an event? Is tonight is something that may be of something that's not wrong, not something that's not sinful? I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm not talking about anything tonight being wrong. I'm just talking about you and I just wanting to pray. You know, tonight, man, you're doing an injustice for your home when you don't lead your home in prayer. You know, men always have this macho mentality. I'm the man of the house. And I wear the pants in the house. And boy, and I lead this thing, and I'm in charge of this thing, and I tell my wife when, and I tell her why, and I tell my children, and everybody listens to me. I'm the big dog on the block, and what I say goes. I'm the money winner. I'm the winner. I bring home the bacon in the house, and you know I've got the authority, and I got the authority of the Word of God, and you know what? I'm on top here, and I'm a man, and I'm in charge tonight. Are you in charge of your prayer meeting? And your home. Are you in charge in that? I mean, tonight, are you gathering your children and gathering your wife and saying, hon, and saying, children, you come unto me because we're fixing to pray because it makes what Christianity is all about. And if you're going to make a difference and effective in our lives tonight, we're going to have to pray. And I'm going to show you that I'm praying. Tonight, prayer. He wanted to pray. We wonder, you know, many times we figure out, why don't our children want to pray? Because they saw mom and daddy not wanting to pray. We wonder in the church house and say, man, why don't people want to come and pray at 4:30 on Sunday? 4:30, we pray up here around this altar. Why don't people come? Well, the fact of the matter is they don't want to come. You say, Brother Larry, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? No, that's not harsh, that's just truth. I'm not telling you if you don't come tonight, you're in sin. I'm not telling you tonight if you don't come at 4:30, then you're a bad member. I'm not telling you tonight if you don't come at 4:30 that you don't love this church. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying opportunity to pray at 4:30, opportunity to pray in my office before the services, opportunity for ladies to pray on Sunday. Listen, those opportunities are there for you to take. And if you don't want to do it, the question is you just don't want to. I'm not saying anything more than that. I'm just saying if you're going to have a prayer life, you're going to have to want a prayer life. That's just the way it is, amen? And so tonight, Daniel was one who, he had to go in his house. He had to go into a certain spot, in a certain place. He opened up his chamber, and friend, he began to pray. Number two, not only do I notice that he wanted to pray, but two, I notice he willed to pray. The Bible says in verse 10 that he will to pray by the way of kneeling upon his knees three times a day. Now, friend, you're going to have not only want to pray, but you're going to have to will to pray. If you're going to pray three times a day, and honestly tonight, that ought to not be no problem for any Christian. I believe in my heart tonight that when you get up in the morning, the first person, the first people you need to talk to is God in heaven. That's the conversation that needs to take a place because, listen, for the rest of the day, you need Him. And for the rest of the day, you're asking God to protect your family and God's asking God to make sure that you make a living for your home and make sure that you keep people safe in your home. And boy, you got all kind of other things that's before you. And boy, in the morning, you're asking God, God, this is your day, the day that you made. And I'm asking you, Lord, that you be glorified in it, you be honored in it. And Lord, and I ask you to forgive me of my sin, I ask you to direct me, I ask you to help me, I ask you to be that father, that mother, that child, that brother, that sister, that God will be honored. And God, if you don't help me through the day today, I will fall at temptation. God, if you don't lead me through the day, I will be overcome by the devil. I need you. That's the way you need to start. I mean, why would you start any other way? Why would you choose today to get up? In the world the Bible calls us the God of this world, it's the devil. Why would you choose to neglect God to go to the world that belongs to the devil? That don't make no sense to me, folks. I can't get it tonight. Why would you put yourself in those positions when God offers you tonight to pray? And then say that, and then the second time to pray is at lunch. Man, before you eat at lunch, you ought to pray. I mean, that's going to be a different type of prayer. It's going to be a prayer that you're thanking God for the food. You're thanking God for the 4 hours or 6 hours or whatever it is if you made it this far. And man, thank you for what's going to take place. I mean, it's going to be a different type of prayer. You're not going to pray the same as you did that morning. But that at noontime, you're going to pray. And opportunities before you eat tonight. And I pray, if you don't pray before you eat, it's a wonder you don't choke. Yeah. The third time you pray is when you lay your head down at night. Now, friend, it doesn't make sense to me to be a Christian, a lover of God, a worshiper of the Holy God, and not give Him the thanks for the blessings of the day. To let you lay your head down on a pillow in a place and thank Him for all that He has done throughout the day. I mean, I think tonight it would probably be just very rude to take the blessings of the day, to receive the protection that God gave you, to just eat up the provisions that He provided, and then just go to bed without even acknowledging that He had anything to do with it. That's rude, isn't it? I mean, tonight, that's three times a day. And do y'all see any problem with that or why, as Christians, we shouldn't do that? But Daniel was one who willed to pray. See, you might want to pray, but you probably do it one time a day. But when you get to willing to pray, that's how Daniel was, three times a day. Well, you're going along that day with that Holy Spirit of God. I mean, He's just working with you, and He's working alongside of you, And God, man, God's speaking to you and God's helping you along the way. I mean, three times a day is a... try it. You might like it. And just see what kind of day you have. Just see of the peace and the rest that you might have. Hey, it might be getting rough edges. It might get tough during the time. Daniel found himself in a rough spot. He found himself in a den with a lion. You might find yourself in a den with a lion. But buddy, just keep on keeping on with God. Amen. So Daniel, he was one who wanted to pray. He's one who willed to pray. But thirdly, I noticed he was praying. In verse 10, it says, at the end of that verse, it says, as he did aforetime. So Daniel wasn't one that they said to him, all right, guys, anybody praying to any other god besides the God of the king, if you get caught within 30 days, you're going to go to the fiery furnace. And so Daniel goes in there to start praying because he's got to get things right with God because he probably might go to the fiery furnace because he's probably going to pray at least one time in 30 days. I mean, sometimes things happen and things happen in your life and you ain't prayed in a couple of days and you haven't prayed maybe in a week or so and all of a sudden somebody calls you, they're sick, your mama's going to the hospital, your children having some kind of issue, your finances are going crazy, and so all of a sudden you start praying because it's a crisis. It's because, man, I need some help now. Now, a week ago when you didn't pray for a whole week, and all of a sudden something come up, and now you need some prayer. That's not how Daniel lived. Daniel just, he did as he did aforetime. I mean, is Daniel 3 days, three times a week, three times a day? No matter if things are going good, things are going bad. It's just a constant, three times a day, three times a day. He just was praying. He was willing to pray. He was wanting to pray. Can I say here fourthly tonight? He was worshiping in his prayer. He said in verse 10, he said that he prayed and gave thanks before his God. Gave thanks for before his God. Now, ain't that something tonight? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what? What are we talking about? Thank you for throwing my three Hebrew children into the fiery furnace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we were besieged and taken over by Nebuchadnezzar. Thank you, Lord, that we were tempted by the king's meat and the king's wine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm now away from home. I'm now far away, and now my life has changed. Thank you, Lord. See, that's all negative aspects I'm trying to say. But see, he didn't look at it from that perspective. Nowhere, no matter where Daniel was, no matter what Daniel was facing, Daniel was giving God thanks. Giving God thanks. Lord, I had a hard day today, but thank you, it could have been worse. Today my right leg hurts, Lord. I ask you to help it, but you know it could be my left and my right. There's always something in your life that you can bring thanks unto God. Can I say it could get worse? Can I say tonight that it could be worse than what it is tonight? God gives you a raise, and you thought you deserved $5. He gave you $3, so you're complaining. So you know what? Why don't we just thank Him? Thank Him for the church. You say, brother, I wish the church was full tonight. I thank God for just who's here. See, tonight, when you find yourself living by faith, you're going to find yourself worshiping in your prayer. And so prayer is not going to be, man, I get so tired of praying. I mean, now Brother Larry said, three times. Dear God, I was just doing good at once. Now he comes up with this scripture here. Now Daniel, you know, he believed in God. And now Daniel did it three times. So now Brother Larry says, we got to do it three times. And he's pushing the envelope. I don't know how much more I can take of him. Oh, the fact of the matter is tonight when prayer becomes worship. I don't know tonight, but when prayer becomes very grudgingly, and prayer becomes very dry, and prayer becomes very unimportant, and prayer becomes very not fun because you're not worshiping in that prayer. It may be that you're just asking for something. It may be that you're just telling God some things. It may be God, maybe that you're just looking for God to do something in your life and you haven't, He hasn't done it yet, and really down deep in your heart you're kind of angry because things are not working out exactly your way. So you can't praise Him and thank Him for anything because really it's not happening like you want it to happen in your life. And so you say what you say and get up and you get out, and 3 minutes later or 3 seconds later you're gone. And you haven't worshipped. You just spoke some words, of 45 seconds of words, and really it's not effective. It's not changed your life. Tonight, worship. He worshipped in His prayer. Then lastly, I want to say this. This is my introduction too. I even got to my first point. So I don't know how this is going to work out. But I notice, fifthly, His wisdom to pray. Can I say tonight, it's just wise to pray? I mean, if you want to help this church, prayer. You want to help these families of this church, pray. If you want to help your husband, dear wife, pray. Husbands, you want to be a help and a blessing to your wife? Pray. You know, the greatest help that you can bring your children tonight is prayer. You know what this country needs tonight? It needs prayer. And it's wise tonight to pray. Now, here's why I say that tonight. Because Daniel, in chapter 10, it says that he in his window being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Now, that's important. I mean, he could have went in his room and the Bible wouldn't have gave no detail about toward Jerusalem. What's so important about that? Well, turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 36. 2 Chronicles 6 and verse 36. And this is what Daniel knew. The Bible says in chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles, in verse 36, it says, "If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not." Well, isn't that the truth? "And thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives into a land far off and near." Now, that's speaking dear to his heart, because he's a captive. "Yet, if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, 'We have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly,' if they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they are carried them captives, pray toward their land." So God tells them to pray towards their land, pray towards Jerusalem. He said, "Toward the city which thou hast chosen, toward the house which I have built for my name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from the dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause. Forgive thy people, for they have sinned against thee." God is saying to the way of the Jews, if you want your prayers to be answered, and your supplications to be met, and your petitions to be recognized, you're going to have to pray towards Jerusalem. Daniel did that. You know why he did that? Because he knew the promise of God's Word. Now turn your Bibles for us in Mark chapter 11. We're not a Jew, of course. Us praying towards Jerusalem is not important. Tonight, that doesn't give us any extra favor from God. But in Mark chapter 11, verse 22 says, the Bible says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Now the promise of 2 Chronicles to Daniel was why he prayed toward Jerusalem. The promise to you and I in Mark chapter 11 is that we pray with faith and believing what we pray. The promise is equal the same. God will hear Daniel. And tonight, only reason why you and I would be wise in praying, because that's how we get God
blessings and God's answers. That's how we get God to move into our lives, because of His promises. So, it's wise to pray. So tonight, whenever we can be as a Christian, and we find ourselves as a prayer and praying like Daniel, in all the 5 points that I made tonight, number one, you'll find that you will, according to that, according to the kind of prayer life, you can expect tonight to have a godly testimony. See, without a prayer life tonight, you'll not have a testimony. Without a prayer life. Tonight, if your prayer life is weak, your testimony will be weak. If your prayer life tonight is non-existent, your Christian life will be non-existent. Your prayer life is the measurement. You can go see about that, Brother Keith. Your prayer life is the very measurement. It's the very basis of who we are tonight is about praying. And so tonight I say to you that when you pray as Daniel has prayed, you'll find that you'll have a godly testimony. Now I know tonight everybody in this room, including me, I want to have a godly testimony. Amen. What's worth being a Christian when you got a bad testimony? That don't make no sense to me. Why be a Christian tonight if your testimony is horrible? That's not a good way of living tonight. If I'm going to live a Christian life, then I want a testimony that's godly. If I'm going to tell you that I am saved by the blood of the Lamb and I have received Christ as my Savior tonight, then I want a testimony that's godly. Amen. And the only way to get that, according to the Bible, is to be a prayer warrior or a prayer of Daniel tonight. That is to want to pray, will to pray. Amen. Was praying, worshiping in prayer. Tonight, wisdom with prayer. So tonight we find Daniel as one. Now, Daniel at this point has went through three kings. Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar and Darius. Now at Darius we find that now Daniel is an older fellow. He's in his 90s now. He has been through some period of time. Remember back in chapter 1, he was in his teens. He's probably 17 years old in chapter 1. Now we come to chapter 6, and he's now in his 90s. Now, that's been a long time, amen? Now, I know tonight that most people in their 90s or most people in their later age, they find themselves thinking about different things and thinking about death or thinking about all the years of the past. But Daniel was one tonight who was an older guy, like I said, in his 90s. But I want you to notice, number one, in his testimony, that was a godly testimony, that he was considered to be above others by the king. We notice that in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princesses, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no darnage." Then the Bible says in verse 3, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes." So from the king's perspective, the man in charge, the one of authority, the boss man, Daniel was considered to be above. That's a godly testimony. When you've got thousands of people and you've got others tonight who are around you, working with you, and a boss, a manager, an owner, somebody who's in authority, somebody who's in charge, friend, and they choose you above anyone and everyone else, tonight that is a godly testimony. And Daniel was that. That's why it's important tonight, you and I, you say, should my Christianity come out of the church and go into my workplace? You have no idea about what a workplace or a school effect you can make. Tonight, no matter what you do tonight, brother, I know Brother Keith is a policeman, but he ought to be a policeman with a godly testimony. Amen. He ought to be chosen above anyone and everyone. I know tonight that as Sister Heather is works here at the church and she does some other things, that she ought to be the very best in whatever she does. Amen. I know Sister Liz, you work down there with Sister Sandy, and I don't know what you do, but I tell you this right now, if you're going to have a godly testimony, they're going to look at you above the rest of who do your job. Because a Christian tonight just is above. As well as Brother George in your school or where you work. I'm just saying tonight, you know, there are some wives here who have hard, difficult jobs. And that is to be a housewife. That is to be a mom. And you wives and your moms, y'all got a great job. You got a most important job. As far as I'm concerned, a stay-home mom has the hardest job in all the world. I wouldn't want it. It's the most difficult thing in all the world. I mean, the greater of influence that you have, the greater impact that you've got. I mean, listen, you've got a home that you've got to deal with. You've got children that you've got to get up and get ready and deal with all their attitudes. I mean, then you got a husband has an attitude. I mean, you've got all kinds of things that you got to deal with. And you got to find time with you. You got to find time with God. And you know what? Many husbands on the outside who goes to work, and this is just truth. They get up in the morning and they leave the house. They say, glad I've got a job. So they go on a job. They ain't got to worry about home. They ain't got to worry about anything going in there. They ain't got to worry about the bill collectors. They ain't got to worry about the arguments that are going on with the children. They ain't got to worry about the complaints of the wife. I mean, now you might text them. You might do all these other things. But, friend, you're away. She's there all day long. She sees their little dirty faces and goes through all their little things of changes of life and while you're gone. Now, these are just things that takes place. But you ought to be the very best at whatever you do. You ought to be the very above. You ought to be the very best mechanic that ever has walked on this earth. I'm just saying tonight. That's what Daniel was shown because of his prayer life. Because he believed in God, his prayer life was that state. And because of that, he was above. A godly testimony. I've seen it time after time in people's lives. When they wasn't a Christian, they would be sluggards at work. They'd be lazy at work. They would be troublemakers at school. They wouldn't want to do their work. They wouldn't listen to the teacher. They were always in the principal's office. I've seen them get born again, and they became total different people. They were above. They were above. Number two, can I say secondly, not only do I notice in this godly testimony they are above others by the kings, but they are advanced by the Spirit. The Bible says in verse 3, it says, because an excellent spirit was in him. I know that most people at the age of the 90s, or going to the 90s, maybe in the 60s, 70s, they're cranky. The older you get, the more cranky you are. Right? Amen? I just know. I mean, I've been around older people. And not only they're cranky, but they're bitter. It seems like the older they get, the bitter they are. I tell you something else that they're difficult. They're difficult to deal with. The older you get, the more difficult you are. You're contrary. The older people just get contrary. Older people also become cantankerous. Now tonight, there are exceptions. But it seems like when you was young and when you was younger, it seems like that you wasn't as much of a complainer or much of a griper or much of a one who is just going to be difficult to deal with. But the older we get, the older that we are, it just seems like we run into that mode. But Daniel tonight, and I'll tell you what brought Daniel to be different than that. He prayed 3 times a day. That's the only reason that Daniel would be different. The Bible says he had an excellent spirit in him. Tonight, if you want to get bitterness out of your life, pray 3 times a day. You want to stop being cranky and difficult to live with? Pray 3 times a day. Listen, friend, if you want to stop having a contrary spirit, pray 3 times a day. Because when you fall down before God and you pray in the name of Jesus and you ask the Holy Ghost of God to do work in your heart, show you your sin, show you where you're wrong, asking God to do something in your life, if you do that 3 times a day, I promise you, something will happen. And one thing will happen is you'll have an excellent spirit. In other words, your demeanor, that's what he's saying, your demeanor will be different. You'll have a demeanor that is not troublesome, a demeanor that's not negative, a demeanor that's not trying to find, trying to see, trying to look, trying to correct, and try. Your demeanor is just a different type of demeanor. You have a different attitude. An excellent spirit would mean the Spirit of God would just bring an attitude. You have a sweet spirit. You'll be one that is able to deal and able to understand and able to be what God would ask you to be in the midst of troubles and situations. You just don't fly off the handle and yell and scream and cuss and kick and hit walls and run and get in your car and just take off and go to Wally World and spend $100 and come back and said you found some sales. Things that there was coupons. The fact of the matter is tonight, Daniel was one with an excellent spirit. He had a different demeanor. He had a different attitude. He had a different countenance. Why? Daniel was just like you and me. Daniel put his pants on one leg at a time. Daniel had no difference to me. You and I and Daniel are the same. Born from a woman. We had to live in a life. We sinned. We had troubles. What made differences? Prayer. Prayer. Try it. I don't believe anybody in this room prays three times a day. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I pray three times a day, but I don't pray three times a day. Does that make sense? I pray every morning, I pray every night, and I pray before I eat. But all three of those prayers, tonight I'm coming under conviction that it's not really prayer. Just because you say, move your lips, don't mean it's prayer. Just because you make some ascent to heaven, that don't mean you got there. Oh, tonight, though, that if we can ever get to the place where we would just know that, God, you are real and you want to be in my life today. And God, I want to tell you three times a day that I love you. I'm telling you tonight, that would revitalize your whole life. I mean, you get refreshed and the revival might break out. Tonight, if we find ourselves praying three times a day. Well, it gave him above all others and advanced him by the Spirit. And then thirdly, I want to say, and I'm not going to finish, of course, but I want to say he was acknowledged, talking about a godly testimony. Others acknowledged, especially the enemy. They acknowledged him. Look what they said about him. Number one, they said about Daniel in chapter 6, verse 4, they said, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault. The first thing that the men that were enemies, other people besides the king, the first thing that they found about him and they acknowledged about Daniel was that he had no incident of slipping. They couldn't find in his life something that you can point to and say, see, you did that and you never made it right. You're doing that and you know that it's wrong. See, Daniel, even the enemies couldn't find. There was no incident of slipping in Daniel's life. How can one live like that? I know I'm preaching and I'm looking at you and you're looking at me and I'm thinking, there's no way. How can I live a life that even my enemies look and search and don't find any incident of me slipping? Is that a possible life? Yes. Three times a day praying. If you don't do it that way, then you won't be that way. You won't have a godly testimony. You will slip and you won't care to slip. Because your attitude will be this. Everybody slips. I'm not perfect. There's only one person that walked on the earth that's perfect. His name's Jesus. I'm so tired of hearing that. Yeah, ain't nobody ever that lived this earth that didn't sin. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about you can sin, but when you do sin, you get it right before God. See, that's no okay. That's no incident of slipping. Hey, listen, friend, we're all human. And we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to fall. But we get it right. We get it right. If I do something wrong and you do something wrong, and I have the attitude, is, well, that's what you deserved. And then tonight, I promise you, you're not praying three times a day. I promise you that. Because people who pray three times a day, God won't let them get through the second prayer. When you get to the throne room of God three times a day, I'm telling you, you're going to get yourself in line. So they found him not having any incident of slipping. The second thing I noticed is that they found no interruption in his serving. He said in verse 4, but they could not find no occasion of fault for as much as he was faithful. I mean, there was no interruption in his serving. They couldn't look at Daniel. I mean, when they looked at Daniel, he was faithful. I mean, he went, he did, and it was faithfulness. I mean, when it was time for the church, he went. When it's time to buy, when it's time for, I mean, he was right on. He was just faithful. They couldn't find no interruption in his service at all. Now, how is it tonight that one, somebody can be faithful and another Christian is unfaithful? What do we attribute that to? Do we attribute it to our raising when we were a child? Do we attribute it to, well, you just know more Bible than I know? Do you attribute that in my levels of Christianity, you just grew faster than me and I'm not growing so fast and I'm still a little babe in Christ and you're some kind of giant in Christ and so because you're giant, you're faithful and I'm a babe, I'm not? No, all these scenarios and all those theories are just human. Here's the problem. You'll be faithful when you pray three times a day. You can't help it. You will. I'm just saying tonight, the energy that you will find, the power that you'll get, the encouragement that will God bring upon you, and the excitement and zeal and joy that you're going to have tonight, it will keep you in line with God. And tonight, you'll have a godly testimony. And there'll be no interruptions in your service, and there'll be no places where they can look and incidents of slipping. And then thirdly and lastly, we'll close on this thought. There'll be no inconsistencies of living. They said in verse 4, neither was there any error or fault found in him. In other words, there was no inconsistencies of his life. He said he was something, and that's what he lived. He said he was going to do something, that's what he did. He tells his family, she tells us their family, family, I'm going to be here and I'm going to do that and I'm going to buy this and I'm going to fix that. Now, guys, if you tell your wife you're going to fix something and you don't fix it, you're just a liar. And you're just wrong. Moms, dads, you tell your children you're going to take them somewhere and you don't take them, you're just a liar. This is inconsistencies. I understand. I'm going to take my children to the park. Hey, kids, on Wednesday we're going to the park. Wednesday gets here, you're just tired. You don't feel like it. Too bad. Well, a friend called. Tell the friend, I made a promise to my children, and my promise is warranted with God. Amen. See, we got some problems tonight within our own realm of life. We promise, we tell, and we don't. And somehow we think we're okay. Because, see, boy, this drives me crazy. And I'm guilty as well. But I can tell somebody that's a neighbor, hey, neighbor, I'm going to come over on Saturday and I'm going to cut your grass. So, Saturday comes, and I got all kinds of things that comes up. But in my mind, if I don't go over there and do what I told him I was going to do, that neighbor is going to think awful of me. So now I've got an extra motivation to go to my neighbor's house, even though I really don't have time, or do I even want to do that, but I promised him. But my extra motivation is what would he think of me? I want him to think good of me. Okay? So I've dragged myself over there and I mow his grass and shake his hand. He hugs my neck. Boy, you're a good Christian. And you told me you was going to come do that, and you did. And boy, I tell you, I'm telling everybody about you. You're a great Christian. You're a giant in the faith. But when we tell our spouse that we're going to do something, and a friend calls, and we tell our spouse, hey, I'll do that later, and we go to the friend, how can we do our spouse that way when we can't do a neighbor that way? And the spouse is who we love. And the spouse is who lives with us. And the spouse is my one that I provide for and I take care of, and we're one. How can we do each other that way and justify it? Does that make sense to us? I know it's hard. But if we pray 3 times a day, I promise you, we'll get straightened up. Amen? A godly testimony. A godly testimony. Do we have one? I'm working on it. Would that probably be everybody in this room? I'm working on it. Are you like me tonight? I'm like a construction site. God's still working on me. This month, I got a spiritual birthday. I don't know if y'all know that or not. October 30th, 1988. Halloween, right? I became a Christian on Halloween. But you know what? After all these years, I'm still trying to have a good godly testimony. Church, listen, if you don't have one tonight, don't be discouraged. Just strive to have one. But don't have the attitude, so what? Friend, listen, if we believe in God as Daniel believed in God, then we're going to have a prayer life as Daniel had, and we'll have a godly testimony. I pray that means something to you tonight. Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. God, help me be consistent. Help me to treat my family and my church better than I treat the world. God, help me keep my word. God, help me to have a godly testimony within my own home. Wonder tonight if we asked your children, if you asked my children, mine are older now, they would sure tell you, tell me about the testimony of your father. What would they say? Would they say it was godly tonight? Would your children tonight verify that what you say who you are is what you are? Would your spouse tonight say yes, yes? They're a Christian because they have a testimony of being a Christian. How about our church tonight? If somebody from the outside said, let me ask you a question about so-and-so. Do they have a godly testimony? What would they say? God, we need help tonight. Drive us to our knees. Cause us to pray. Oh, there's so much good about that. It'll help your home. It'll help your finances. It'll help your children. It'll help your marriage. It'll help this church. Tonight, prayer don't hurt, and prayer can't hurt. God, would you do it more often? Help us, Lord.